One of them thinks cooking is cool. The other thinks white tube socks are. This is Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Scheman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. That is a solid groove.
Drizzy.
Who is it?
Drizzy? Drake?
Yeah, this is like the one song I kind of like from him.
You want me to bump it? Oh, yeah. You listen to this on your way home, don't you?
No, but you'd be surprised.
What you listen to?
What I listen to on my way home.
What do you listen to? Like, I was shocked to learn Mike Golick Sr. is a big fan of Post Malone.
Yeah,
I heard that too. I haven't downloaded Post Malone. And remember, I think we did a show where I criticized Post Malone because he did halftime of,
what's he saying?
Of the Beast. No? What?
No, you're getting your rappers confused.
Did it again.
Yeah, Travis Scott is who you're thinking of.
No.
Travis Scott
isn't
did.
He on ESPN?
No, Malone, Travis Scott did the halftime show of the BC or of the College Football Playoff Championship two championships
right,
ago.
But I wasn't ripping on, I was ripping on Post Malone because I remember going down the hall afterward and Adam Starr making fun of me. Because I was talking about Post Malone.
No, Adam Starr made fun of you because you thought Post Malone was black.
That's a completely different show.
I don't think so.
I'm not denying that. That did happen. That's a completely different show. I must admit, though, I am very confused right now. Because here we are, two solid hours into a four-hour show. May I review something?
Yeah. I got notes on the show as well need to run down it.
It's not like we've just discussed and just mentioned what's out there. We have had
in-depth
conversations on Jim Crane and the Astros scandal, on Mark Emmert and pay-for-play, on whether Eric Bieniemy should go to his alma mater.
Mel Tucker.
Mel Tucker going to Michigan State. Myles Garrett's actual punishment, did it fit the crime? AB's apology to Big Ben, which Pete refuses to accept. I mean, that right there has been 2 hours. We're getting texts going, guys, stop with the sports, please. Get back to the fun and hijinks.
And I forgot to bring this up. This is pretty interesting. Not interesting. It's a cool little nugget today that the Gators are going to start their spring practice open to the public on March 16th.
All right.
News and noteworthy.
That's Monday.
Yeah.
That is the Monday before St. Patrick's Day is on Tuesday.
Yes.
NCAA tournament Thursday, Friday of that week.
Yes.
Oh, what a week.
Awesome.
We got some things going on that week. When do we start announcing stuff? We got a lot of stuff to.
I don't know.
All right, just stand by. We got a lot of stuff going on that middle week in March.
We'll be on location.
Yeah, we will be out and about that week.
If you like us and want to meet us, you're going to have multiple opportunities.
You want to have a pop with us? Come on by. We're at a couple good events.
Oh,
we got a problem
with
for
what?
The Browns and Bengals in the state of Ohio. But did you do your rundown yet?
No, not yet.
Time now for a Sports Center rundown. Here's Chris. Actual sports.
Sports. All right, where's my Sports Center? Here we go. The NFL has reinstated Myles Garrett. He was suspended back on November 14th indefinitely for taking Mason Rudolph's helmet off of his head and trying to hit him with it. Michigan State has hired Mel Tucker, who has resigned as Colorado's coach, to be the next football coach of the Spartans, Antonio Brown. He has now apologized to Big Ben on Instagram. Quote, "I never realized how good I had it. Got caught up in my emotion with everyone coming after me. I really apologize for my actions."
Rock Chalk texting in. Man, I miss all the good stuff. I hate work. Responsibility suck.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, Rock Chalk.
Speaking of responsibility.
Yes.
A proposal to alleviate the pain of being a Bengals and Browns fan has gone up in smoke. Being a fan in the NFL's franchises, as you know, in Cincinnati and Cleveland, does not meet the condition requirements to purchase medical marijuana. That's according to an Ohio Medical Board committee that ruled. According to the Cincinnati Inquirer, the panel that met in Columbus turned down several petitions regarding conditions that could help Ohio residents take advantage of the 2016 law that allowed them to buy marijuana medicinally. In December, being a Browns-Bengals fan was among the multiple petitions filed, according to the newspaper. In three of the past 4 years, One of those two franchises has been the worst in the NFL. The fandom was rejected among other petitions that lacked the required support to continue with the process. So, you can't get marijuana medicinally in Ohio anytime soon.
Well, no, you can. You just can't get it for being a Brown or a Bengals fan.
Right. You can't get it for being a Brown or a Bengals fan. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. So imagine going in. Reason for medicinal marijuana, I sit in section 242. You know.
Have you guys seen what's going on with the Buccaneers?
Not just the Buccaneers. Uniforms? No, not just the Buccaneers.
Oh, yeah.
Here's a story.
We got a list.
New uniforms.
Here's a story. It's not just maybe them. It is with, darn it.
Are we bringing back the creamsicle?
So I just
Falcons,
saw...
Rams, and Browns will unveil new uniforms in the coming months. The Bucs might be joining
them. Let's tackle
this.
So
hold on. So the Rams, okay?
Rams, Falcons, and Browns, yep.
The Rams are moving to the yellow and blue color scheme.
Which they should have never changed.
Exactly.
Not the gold.
Not the gold.
Not the current
yellow and blue. The Los Angeles Rams.
The Eric Dickerson uniform.
Yes.
Right. That's what they should be.
Pat Hayden.
The blue and the yellow.
I hate the white helmet.
That's the color scheme that they're going to.
Good.
So let's.
That's a done deal.
That's a great maneuver by the Los Angeles Rams.
Good job. All right. Who else is changing?
The Cleveland Browns.
Yep.
What can you do with that?
From what I've understood, they're getting rid of the college-ness of their uniform. They're taking the word Browns off of their pants. They're taking the Cleveland like nameplate across the chest.
Yes.
They're taking that off as well. They're going. It's going to be a modern uniform, but closer to like the traditional look, as opposed to this crazy.
Just going to jazz it up instead of being so simple.
So, well, no, they're like actually they're going to make it more simple, not have like the Cleveland written all over it and all of that stuff.
They're going to bring back the Browns uniform.
I love their Browns. I love the home and away. I love the white. I love Bernie. Back in the day, the white.
Well,
the no,
I think
no.
It has improved over time. I know what you're saying about the Brian Sipe era. But I have no problem with the Browns.
Who was the other team?
The Buccaneers.
Falcons. Falcons, Rams, and Browns.
I know nothing about the Falcons. I didn't even know that was one of the teams. The Buccaneers' latest post, I think it was on Twitter I saw this. It's an artist kind of in the bowels of the stadium doing his own little piece of art on former newspaper clippings. And a lot of the newspaper clippings reference the history of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So a lot of people are kind of connecting two and two here saying, are they going to bring back the creamsicle color?
They're not going to go all the way
back. In the video,
back, right?
Which I'm looking at right now, in the video, I'll tweet it out. But in the video, an artist enters an empty Raymond James Stadium and sifts through newspaper clippings with headlines, quote, that say uniform effort, return to glory, Bucks, new uniforms, mold, old, and new.
Yeah.
A bold new era, and wait no more. The Bucks have since been silent, have not confirmed that a change is coming.
All right, so let's break that down real quick.
So I'm going to tweet out that video because it's on their official webpage.
We're combining
their Twitter account.
Creamsicle orange and the pewter and the red. If they're going to combine new and old.
I'm all for it.
How does this work? Do pewter and creamsicle orange clash?
By the way, this is pinned on their Twitter account.
The creamsicle orange needs to be the color of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I don't mind that.
What about the Buccaneer with the knife through his mouth?
Those were the creamsicles.
Yeah.
Those were the creamsicles.
I'm just saying, bring that back too, because right now it's the Buccaneer flag on the side of the helmet, which they made bigger a couple years ago, which I liked.
The Buccaneer with the knife through his mouth.
No, the original one.
Won't be politically correct anymore because blah, blah, blah. Because you know.
Well, no, I mean, it's not making fun of, like, I don't think that there's a population of pirates out there who are going to be offended.
Yeah, Gasparilla's not going to come back from the dead. No,
it's not about that. You're promoting violence. You got a knife. Oh. Yeah,
the Raiders have two swords in their logo.
I have a feeling that that won't happen. I'd love to see it happen.
All right, well, I'll be interested
to see. Oh, that time of the year. Exciting.
What, to talk about uniforms?
Uniform changes, guys. This is good stuff. Great stuff, actually.
Good. You know, it's been quite, again, 12 minutes of unbelievable stuff. No
sports.
No marijuana
What's
for you.
Wrong with
Come
us?
Back 1 year. If you're a Browns or a Bengals, that's not a Bengals fan. You just can't go up and say I'm distraught.
What has happened to 99.3 on the FM dial?
I don't know.
This afternoon show is all sport. People are going to start criticizing us.
I'm caught up on The Bachelor.
Oh, all right. Well, what's
now would be a good time for that, actually. As you know, I don't watch it.
I don't watch it.
I make fun of those that do, but Chris is locked in and others do.
He's a total dink, right? Pete the Pilot.
Now, did you go back and watch the Monday episode where we heard, I mean, this is out on social media now, so this is not a spoiler, that apparently the dude, who's kind of a doofus, is not mm-hmm. choosing any of the 30 hot chicks. He's going with a show producer. Is this true? What's going
no,
on?
No, so this is one of the spoilers that I've heard. There are also a couple of other spoilers, one of which I think is the... This is what happens.
Okay.
Girl got sent home last week, right?
Yeah.
One of the favorites. She had been going on a lot of dates with Peter the Pilot, but she's a little younger. I think that her immaturity started to show. They got physical in like a platonic way at least once on camera.
Like a friend
made
with,
out?
Like a friends with benefits.
Yeah, they moment. Made out, but there was a lot of skin touching, if you know what I'm saying.
All right. All right.
Above the equator.
One spoiler that's going on or that's on the internet right now, which I, the viewer in me hopes is true. The human in me hopes it's not true, but the viewer in me hopes it's true.
Okay.
The human.
Allegedly, Bachelor Peter knocked this chick up.
What?
Before he, this is all speculation at this point. Before he proposes to who he thinks the winner is going to be.
Yes.
The host comes in and tells him this girl that was on the show is now pregnant.
A girl or a producer?
A girl. Okay. No, she was a contestant on the show.
One
of the contestants on the show. Yes.
That has already been sent home.
Right. So then he ends up with nobody. He ends up with nobody.
Friends with benefits night gone awry.
Yeah. This is what it sounds like. This is what it sounds like.
This is embarrassing.
The other two options that are hanging out there on the internet is he ends up with the producer.
Right.
The other option is rumor is that he ends up with Hannah B., who was the Bachelorette last season and eliminated Peter. I believe he was the fourth guy left.
Oh.
So there was a connection there already, yeah. So maybe he ends up with her. But the viewer in me is hoping that he knocked up one of the contestants and this is the drama.
This is what you're hoping
that
for.
The viewer, again,
the human
in me doesn't want that.
Yeah.
Because I had the conversation with my wife last night. If you're that kid, like,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, that's how everybody, you get introduced to the world.
Everybody knows.
Yeah.
You were an accident.
On national TV.
Yeah. There's no hiding that.
I think the producer story is a smokescreen. Because of this.
Do you think the producer, will it come out the producer was coerced or,
I don't
or,
think so.
Or recommended to, you know, if you feel like it, let's cause some drama here. Let's stage something and go after him and
the
see
producer,
what happens.
The producer, that seems a little far-fetched to me. That seems really out there to me.
Well, that is out there.
Knocking the girl up.
Well, do you think it was...
Surprised it hasn't happened yet.
But I'm surprised at that, too, on both sides. But the producer being involved, is that something that was in the script initially? Or do you think they wrote that in?
There's no script. It's reality TV.
Well, as far as engaging that, as far as her becoming engaged with the contestant. Oh. Because I got to figure that has to be written in because that has... That's a legal disaster written
happens,
all over it, doesn't
it? If that's what happens, then the producer's fired automatically.
Right.
The producer,
you would think
the producer's done.
Now, what they got to have to be careful of is that if it was sort of kind of hinted at, semi-scripted in, like at the beginning of the show, like, hey, then they said to her, well, you know, become a more of a...
No fraternizing with the...
You can't. They can't write that in.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe they can. But there's got to be some sort of legal documentation that protects her or protects the show from being sued by her if she does decide to engage with the contestant. That seems like a whole legal mess to me, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If things went awry, if she got hurt in some way, shape, or form. Just say she's walking with him on the beach and steps on a piece of glass. Well, she shouldn't have been on the beach walking with him but stepped on a piece of glass.
Man, pickup game of hoops is throwing in his theories now.
Pickup game of hoops?
Madison's a virgin. She leaves because fantasy night, that's where they get the fantasy suite, and they go and they
ooh, I love the fantasy
connect.
Suite.
They do? Is there always connecting?
There's a lot of connecting. On many different levels. Emotionally.
How many girls are left by the time we get to the suite level?
Three. The fantasy suite, there are three girls.
What if he knocks up all of them?
They each get... Well, I mean...
We could be irresponsible.
Move to Utah.
We got to...
Become a bigger...
and then like three girls come out and they're all expecting a rose and they're all pregnant. I see.
And they all have babies in the same month.
Disastrous. It's like triplets, but not triplets.
Now, when was this show taped?
Like 3 months ago.
All right. So no babies have been born in real life that have signed.
No, the encounter didn't happen in Cleveland, right? When they were over there, whatever they were doing over there.
No, I believe this encounter that we're talking about, I believe that happened in Costa Rica, where they went on their own one-on-one date, and I believe they went to a waterfall with bathing suits, Costa Rica.
A grotto.
Nice. Natural water.
A grotto.
Yeah, like, come on, love is in the air. What are you supposed to do?
Well,
and what if he ends up with the producer and just says, I don't even want to be on the show anymore.
I can't imagine. Well, we're going to see it to the end. Like, they've shown previews of the final episode.
Has the show ever been ended abruptly for whatever reason?
Not that I know of. Again, I'm kind of new to the Bachelor, Bachelorette game.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I've only been on this for like 2 or 3 years now.
I've been three ever since I've known you.
Right, but it's only been like 2 or 3 years.
How many lawsuits have been filed in this show? It's not just The Bachelor, but The Bachelorette as well. How many lawsuits have been filed over the years that stuck?
I don't know the answer to that. I can't imagine.
I would think the waiver, I would think the legal papers that all these contestants that must sign must be a gazillion pages long that protects the network and the show from basically anything. Don't talk to me about emotional damage or, I guess, if it got physical and you beat up somebody, that's a different story. But barring that, I think the person, either the Bachelor or the Bachelorette, you know, could do whatever you want.
I want to know, Chris. What is your wife's best theory as of today? Because she's zeroed in.
Her best theory is what I'm hoping happens.
The chaos theory?
The pregnancy.
Jeez.
That's what she... It really is plausible.
Yeah.
Like, for us to be on, like, season 35 of The Bachelor...
Yeah. Is it that long?
No.
Oh, dude.
Not 35 years. They do two or three a year, right?
They do three a year. Yeah, okay. They do The Bachelor, they do The Bachelorette.
So it's like 10 years old, the show.
Whatever the island one is in the summer. I don't watch that one.
Why?
You don't? Yes, you do.
No, the summer one? No, I don't want. Love Island? What is it called? It's not Love Island. Anyway, it's
called Survivor.
It's a stupid one. Oh. No, Survivor, I am pumped for.
Really?
Absolutely pumped.
Never
it starts
seen one
this
episode.
Week, doesn't it?
I don't know.
It starts this week. It's the 40th season. They're bringing back 20 of the best players in Survivor history. All have won. Boston Rob's coming back. Everybody's coming back. Fantastic.
They're all like 15
Richard
years
Hatch?
Older now.
Richard Hatch,
Richard
too?
Can't come back, no.
Yeah, you know why?
Yeah, tax evasion.
Yeah.
It was an accident. It was the first.
I cannot tell you.
I thought that happened to the situation at Jersey Shore. I thought he had the tax situation.
Back in the day in Boston, after he won, they were limoing him from Newport, Rhode Island to our radio station at one of our sister stations, the equivalent of here, B1039, okay? So... whatever it was called back then, it changed names. But they paid him over $300,000 a year after he won Survivor, limoed him to and from Boston, from Newport, which is 2 hours basically, every day for morning drive. And paid, actually, I think it was $330,000. And he couldn't have been a bigger jerk in life, which we all expected. Yeah. Thank God they were down the other end of the hall. He is a disgrace.
Oh, new season of Survivor starts tonight.
You just looked it up?
Yep, Shula's texted that in.
It's ironic that I mentioned that because I was just off the top of my head, and I would have no idea that that's playing tonight, nor will I watch it. Wow.
You know who one of the first Bachelors was?
A football player.
Jesse Palmer.
Jesse Palmer, yeah.
One of the first Bachelors.
Yeah. Wasn't he kind of nice?
Is he still married to that chick?
I don't know. I don't know. Hmm. He's Canadian, too.
I think I've met Jesse Palmer.
There's a fun fact.
Yeah. I've been at Super Bowl.
You were the second most handsome man at that moment, I'll tell you that much.
No, he's on NFL Network. He does a lot on the Food Network.
I think when I was doing NFL Europe, he was on the other crew that was over there.
Oh, really?
I think I've had dinner with him before, actually.
Oh, intimate.
Rock Chalk is pissed because he missed the first 2 hours of the show.
It was all sports for 2 hours and 20 minutes, and then we just had this little divergent topic here.
Dopey's upset.
Why? He's always upset.
Because it's this talk and not sports.
Well, Palmer was cast in 2004 as a Bachelor for the fifth season.
There you go.
He went on to become, again, college football analyst for ESPN and ABC, and has been a columnist for the website and the sports network in Canada.
I had better hair back America. Then. I wasn't the second.
Like I said, he's hosted the Holiday Baking Championship. He was on this past season. He's hosted the Holiday Baking Championship on the Food Network.
I watch it every year. It's probably the worst work that he does. the holiday baking championship.
It's horrible.
I don't like it.
The show is really good,
yeah.
except for him.
That's your fault for watching a food agree. Show, but that's
Oh, you're out of your
opinion.
Mind.
Does TSN stand for the Sports Network?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Canada's
ESPN.
Wait a minute. Don't knock it, because I mean, some people would say sports happen here on 99.3 ESPN, which they do.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to the first 2 hours.
Podcast,
go back. Look it up.
ESPN.com.
Fourth round pick of the Giants, 125th pick overall in the 2001 NFL draft. He was a backup to Kerry Collins back then.
When was he out of the league?
He was out of the league in, he was out of the league in 2006. He played for the Giants from 01 to 04, San Fran in 05, and with the Montreal, he was out in 05. Then he played for the Montreal Alouettes in 2006.
It was 04. We did NFL Europe together.
He was an Alouette?
Yeah, in 2006.
Oh, wow. Dumpster fire, yes, you can put Skittles on The Bachelor. Not at this point in the season because leaks have happened, but if there are no leaks, they'll put Bachelor odds out there.
Little Quinn, now you're talking Food Network, Cake Boss, Chopped. Yeah, in fact, the $50,000 finale for Chopped was last night, which I taped.
Oh, was it?
I'm watching it tonight, yeah.
That's it.
I love that.
That's a fantastic cooking
show.
I can't do cooking shows.
For those chefs to be able to work on the fly like that with the hodgepodge of ingredients that they're handed and make something good.
The one mistake they always make is the ones that try to make risotto and sometimes even grits in 20 minutes.
What's
99%.
Next? What's next, the house cleaning show? Oh, here's how I vacuum with a brand new vacuum.
You're the only one that doesn't like the Food Network.
Oh, have you seen the Chinese woman on Netflix who's the organizer?
No.
Life-changing. Absolutely life-changing.
What, does she, like, organize your closet
for you? She, like, organizes everything, and, like, she goes through these people's houses and just says, look, this is junk. Get rid of it. You're not wearing...
The Virgin. That's another Seinfeld episode. Jerry dates...
That was her job.
The character was Daphne from Frasier, remember? Before Frasier.
Yes, I do. Yes,
she
I
was
do.
His girlfriend, and she reorganizes his apartment. She's like, I have one word. She has an English accent. I have one word to say to you. Hooks.
Hooks.
Hundreds of hooks.
Hang everything.
And he says, you're quite mad, aren't you?
Yes.
That's a great episode.
I love it. Actually,
that was a great series of Seinfeld.
It's changed the way that I fold clothes in my house.
Really?
Yeah.
How did you fold?
No. So like a shirt, I'll fold the two sleeves behind it.
Yeah, flip.
Fold it in half.
Yeah.
Fold it in half again.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's like it's compact.
That's normal.
Right? Well, now it's more of a roll.
Uh-huh.
And then you just lay... You lay the shirts and the pants. You lay the shirts and the pants in the drawer almost in like a filing cabinet way.
And you save space.
So you don't have put stuff pushed down to the bottom.
Do the pants get wrinkled?
No.
I
a little bit.
I hang pants.
Yes, I hang pants too. Yeah. I don't wear them often. Once a year. You can have three pairs.
All right. This was a ridiculous tangent, but you know.
That was fantastic. Dumpster Fire said, I recently just met Robbie from The Bachelor.
Really?
The JoJo season, whatever that means. Nice kid. Teeth like a beaver. Would envy, though.
Okay, I wouldn't envy teeth like a beaver. That means you got like two like extra large teeth in front, and then the rest are small.
Those are buck teeth.
Buck teeth. I don't know if I was allowed to say that anymore.
Catholic Farter
says... Why couldn't
says,
you say that anymore? Was there a bad connotation there?
No.
Okay.
I'm afraid of everything.
Catholic Farter says, all of these people complain about how terrible your show is when you don't talk about sports. Holiday Baking, one of the other sports shows that I can get in my area... On the AM, their show isn't even worth mentioning. They talked about kneeling issue for weeks, and I discovered your show. I love it. Yes.
Yeah, Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, coming up, don't forget another round of Wikipedia right around the corner. And that's not even sports related, but that's okay.
You know what? We could do like a quarterback carousel game because you haven't heard that on sports radio in the last 2 weeks.
We did that on Monday, didn't we?
I have my Power 5 list of teams that are... They've beaten top 10 teams in the 2000s.
All right. I feel like we're doing that next.
Yeah.
Tonight, live play-by-play, it's the Florida Gators at Texas A&M out of College Station.
You don't have to read that part, the live play-by-play part. That was me letting you know that's what we got live play-by-play tonight.
We got a game on the radio.
It's
the Gators.
Mick Hubert.
Play-by-play against the A&M Aggies. 8 o'clock tonight here on 99.3 ESPN. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Miss any of the show? You can get Sheeman and Shepard all the time with Sheeman and Shepard On Demand. Available on 99.3ESPN.com and iTunes. This is Sheeman and Shepard.
Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN. Son of a Preacher Man.
Great tune.
It is a hump day Wednesday. Back to sports for a minute. Forgive me. There's one other item we did not mention today that I just want to make mention of. Don't have to spend a lot of time on it. Last night, Zion Williamson scored 31 points in 28 minutes. That dude is going to put it. This is what, his ninth game?
Mm-hmm.
He's starting to figure it out. I think he's starting to figure it out.
Yeah, learning curve is gone.
Learning curve is straight up. But anyway, very impressive. Anyway, we have Wikipedia. I get your features mixed up. Wikipedia coming up in about 10 minutes or so. You had a little fun little list of.
Absolutely, but I also want to tease, too. We just got confirmation. A friend of the program, Michael McCann, Sports Illustrated legal analyst and staff writer and attorney up at UNH, sports and entertainment law director up there. He's going to join us at 5:05. Lots to discuss with him about sports gambling and the baseball. You know, he's heavily tied in. He's had some great articles about everything. So we'll pick his brain for about 15 minutes. He's a great guest.
All right.
And he'll let us know when we can legally gamble on sports.
Yes.
We keep trying to find out.
The questions everybody wants answered.
That's the real answer. We'll get right to it. All right. So that's coming up shortly.
I got a bunch of lists.
Right. Oh.
What? Breaking news?
No.
Oh. Oh, that was – you leaned over. I didn't know if that was a –
Oh, I was looking at my screen to make sure that I paused the song so if I needed to pull the
– Yeah.
You don't need to know why I looked over.
Okay. All right, so we got a list?
Yeah, I got a bunch of lists here. These are the Power Five conferences. Their winning percentages against AP-ranked teams in the 2010s.
Conference as a whole.
And now, a list.
Let's go down in order here. Let's start with the Big Ten.
Okay.
That I tweeted out, not alphabetical order.
Because they're awesome.
Who do you think is last?
By team?
Indiana?
No, they're second to last.
I'll put Michigan.
Rutgers.
I'll put Michigan last.
No.
They don't beat top 25.
No, but they've won a couple.
Yeah.
Right, like well, IU and
in the 2000s, from 2010 to 2019.
I'll go Rutgers or Maryland.
I'm going to double down on Michigan.
Rutgers is 0-27, dead last.
IU's second
Indiana's
to last.
Indiana's 2-33. Illinois, 2-27.
Got one this
Michigan
year, though.
Michigan is right in the middle, 13-29. Again, this is from 2010 to 2019.
I feel like the premise of this whole list was just to take a jab at Indiana right there.
Not at all. Number one, Ohio State, 35-10. Everybody else is under 500. Can you name the second place team?
2010.
Okay, 2010 to 2019.
I'll say Wisconsin.
Yep.
Bucky Badger.
20-22.
Then I would actually, I'd probably go Michigan State ahead of Penn State.
Yep, Michigan State's three. And then basically Iowa and Penn State are tied.
Okay.
12-24 for the Hawkeyes and the Lions, 12-25.
Because remember, Penn State had a rough start in the early 2000s.
Northwestern.
There was a cloud around that program.
That was a big cloud.
Northwestern, better percentage, better record against AP top 10 teams in Michigan, 11-23 for a 324 winning percentage. Michigan, 13-29 for a 310.
Fun fact.
Yeah. All right. ACC. Again, these are winning percentages against AP-ranked teams at the time of games in the 2010s. That's 2010 all the way to 2019. Okay. Let's start last.
Boston College.
Georgia Tech.
Boston College, 1-26.
Georgia Tech got to an ACC championship game in the 2010s.
Wake Forest next at 4-14.
They lost to Jameis Winston and Seminoles. I believe that was the year the Seminoles lost to Oregon in the college football playoff.
Wake Forest, 4-24. North Carolina, 5-22. Ooh, bro.
Should have been 6-21 for the heels if Mac Brown just kicks the field goal against Clemson.
Duke, 5-19. Georgia Tech, actually, 7-23.
Yeah.
Name the top four.
Okay, your top four in the ACC.
There's only one team over 500.
I'm taking Clemson.
Clemson over 500,
Clemson,
right?
Clemson, 29-15, a 6.59 winning percentage. Everybody else is under.
I'll go Florida State second.
Florida State second at 18-21.
I'm trying to think. Would there be a surprise candidate?
Virginia Tech? Did we mention?
Virginia Tech.
Yeah, over Miami.
13-20
okay.
And Miami. And then Miami. Miami at 9-20. Then Pittsburgh against NC State. So.
All right.
What's that?
Next!
Next, we get down to the Pac-12.
Oh, all right.
Care to say who's last?
This is from 2010.
No,
Oregon State's last.
Again, for the fifth time.
2010
to 2019.
The 2010s.
The 2010s.
I said the 2010s.
You said 2010.
Oh.
I said the 2010s before you jumped down my throat rudely.
The 2010s.
I'll say Oregon State is last.
Second to last.
I'm going to say Washington State. No, no, no.
No, Washington State. No.
I rescind.
UCLA?
No, they're actually fifth.
Middle of the pack.
Fourth.
Middle of the pack.
I'm going to go Arizona, and then I'm stuck.
Colorado. Speaking of, Mr. Tucker.
All right.
4-32. Oregon State second to last at 5-30. Cal Bears at 6-27.
Oh, they're bad too. You forget about that school.
Washington State 8-28. Arizona 10-27. But this school does have two teams over 500 against top 10 teams in the 2010s. Could you guess the first two, the top two?
Oregon would be one.
Yep, they're first at 26-17.
And USC would be two?
Yeah, nope. USC's down.
Ooh, fifth. Washington?
Wait a minute. No. What? Oregon's one.
Winning percentage.
UCLA is fourth.
Oh, USC's, Stanford.
Stanford is
Stanford.
Second, 28-20.
Right. Yeah.
And Arizona State at 17-21. UCLA at 18-25.
Have we mentioned Washington? No.
USC is fifth at 18-26. And minute, Washington said, is sixth.
I thought
at
you said UCLA was fifth.
No, they're fourth. USC is fifth.
Okay.
All right, so.
Next,
we'll get to that in a second. Big 12.
Do SEC.
Big 12.
Kansas is last.
Yes. 1-37.
They got one.
Who's the one?
Oh, that's a top 10 team.
Didn't they beat like Oklahoma
they
or somebody?
Texas.
Yeah.
They
beat
Texas.
Yep. That was wasn't that last year?
Yes. Was that last year?
I thought it was this year. There was the upset win.
I thought that was the end of Charlie Strong.
Could have been.
Maybe.
Let me look that up.
We need more listeners.
Second from the bottom, Texas Tech at 7-33.
A list.
Kansas State third from the bottom at 8-30. To get to the top, there are two teams with a record over 500.
Oklahoma and Texas.
Oklahoma is one. They are first at 34-18. Again, these are teams with winning records against top 10 teams in the 2019s.
Oklahoma State.
Yes, they're second. Very good.
They're the only other barely decent team in that league.
24-23. Third is TCU. Incredibly. Think about that. TCU's third at 18-20.
That was Charlie Strong when Kansas beat Texas.
Really?
Right. Yeah.
Fourth is Texas at 17-34. Five is Baylor at 12-26. And then West Virginia.
Sorry, who was second in that
Oklahoma
conference?
State.
Oklahoma State. Okay.
Yep. Finally.
The SEC!
SEC. Again.
We starting from the bottom?
Yes, start from the bottom.
Vanderbilt.
Vandy.
Yes. Vanderbilt.
Then, 4-31. Second from the last.
Kentucky.
No, they're third from the last.
Missouri.
Mississippi State.
Nope.
Tennessee.
8-40.
Wow.
Then Kentucky, 6-27.
Then Mississippi State.
Then Mississippi State, 8-34. Arkansas, 14-39. Then Ole Miss at 13-34. Missouri at 10-24. Florida at 13-29. They're seventh. Can you name the top two?
Alabama
at 51-15.
I'm between two schools.
Georgia.
I don't think it's Georgia.
I'm going Georgia. No, their ceiling is
I'm going to say Auburn.
Nope. LSU. 41-18. Georgia with a ceiling higher than four. A third, 24-25. Auburn fourth at 27-32. Texas A&M fifth at 18-30. South Carolina, sixth, and then Florida.
That was quite fun.
Yeah.
So what was Alabama's record?
51-15. 773 winning percentage.
So, okay.
You lost 15 games. That's a lot.
I mean, against AP ranked.
Over 10 years.
Teams.
Whatever.
1.5 a year.
Loss is a loss.
You're right. Real, do you have all the lists pulled up right there?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so Alabama... Would you say they're right? 40-15?
51-15.
Okay, so they played 66 games against top 25 teams. How many did Ohio State play?
Excellent question. I know where you're going with this.
Very good question. Let's see.
Alabama gets a lot of flack.
45.
So Alabama played 20 harder
games
than
everybody else.
Than Ohio State.
No, Clemson. I want to know Clemson, too.
44. 29-15, 44.
Well, I know where Chris is going with this because Alabama gets a lot of criticism for not playing Pac-12, not playing a good schedule.
Pac-12, 43. Oregon, at 43. And then
Oklahoma out of the...
52.
52?
They're second.
I'm surprised by that because they play so many bad teams in their conference. You got to give them credit for scheduling people. How about that?
Yeah.
So, Chris, next August, when Pete's barking down your throat how Alabama doesn't have a schedule.
I got it written down right there.
You guys play top 25 all the time.
I say for all SEC teams, I don't fault Alabama for their schedule. I just think nobody should be playing the Citadel.
No, you do fault Alabama for their schedule.
I'm not faulting Alabama for their schedule.
You've done shows where you found fault.
It's not their fault this year on the half of the SEC that they played was bad. I fault for some of the non-conference games that they scheduled.
That's what we're talking about.
Well, yeah, but it's, I mean,
so, Alabama, for every game against Florida State they schedule, they'll sneak in a Citadel or Western Carolina. But they're playing some people.
No, they are. I just don't think any team in Division I should be playing FCS school in this day and age.
They averaged 1.5 more games per season against top 25 teams.
They averaged 5-1
than anybody else on this list.
They basically averaged going 5-1 the last 10 years against AP top 10 teams, which is phenomenal. It's unheard of.
Spectacular.
All right, if you want to stump Pete Shepherd for prizes.
Do you have Notre Dame pulled up?
No.
Or do they only do it by conference?
Only do it by conference.
Sorry, you guys don't count Notre Dame.
They only do Power 5. Well, no, they don't count.
Okay, so no conference games. So that means every time they play somebody ranked, whether it be Southern Cal or
Michigan.
I mean,
who else?
I've never criticized
Stanford
Notre Dame for their schedule. Throwing a Stanford that's pretty
Georgia.
Good.
Uh-huh.
They've did back-to-back with Georgia. I've never taken a cheap shot at Notre Dame for their schedule. I think it's always been a pretty good schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
Let me just check real quick to see if he did do independence. Oh, okay. I actually found it. He does
okay.
have it. Tweeted it out. And Notre Dame was, they had, let's see if you can guess. In the 2010s against AP top 10 teams, they had 40 games. What do you think the record was? 40 games against AP top 10 teams.
25-15.
No. No. God, no.
No.
A winning percentage? Absolutely not.
No.
17-23.
Sort of close. Craig, one more guess.
Nope, sticking to it.
20-20.
500.
The only team closer?
I was closer. No, Chris was.
Only team with zero such wins, Rutgers. The only team.
Not
so. Ohio State, Alabama, LSU, Clemson, Oklahoma, Oregon, Stanford, Oklahoma State. Those are the top ones.
That's pretty good.
Those are the top seven.
That's one of the better lists we've ever had.
Just so everybody's clear, Alabama played 26 more ranked opponents in a 10-year span
decade,
than Notre Dame did.
Yeah.
26.
Fact.
2.5 more a year.
Mm-hmm.
One a month.
Fact.
An extra ranked opponent a month.
Fact.
And shouldn't have been on the field with Alabama in 2012. Just saying.
Fact.
Probably also fact.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Time now to play Wikipedia. Let's do a little movie trivia. Still a spinoff of Oscars weekend. Caller number 920 MoBucks on the lines from Moe's Southwest Grill. 239-337-ESPN. 239-337-3776. It's Wikipedia. Sheeman and Shepherd. Caller number 9. 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Think you got what it takes to stump the Shep? Shooter shoot. And here's your shot. It's Wikipedia. Brought to you by Moe's Southwest Grill. Moe's caters tailgate parties, retirement, and office parties. We cater any event. Real Southwest delivered. Visit Moe's.com/catering or call 239-384-3387. Welcome to Moe's Catering.
All right, here we go. Caller number 9, Sweet Bay. What's going on? How are you?
What's up?
I'm doing good. Got through this time. This is great.
Wow. All right, finally got through. Caller number 9. How old are you, Sweet Bay?
I'm 58 years old.
And what do you do for a living?
I'm a stagehand. I do set up stages for like Godsmack and all them shows that come around.
Oh, really?
Nice. Wow.
Who's the coolest band you ever worked with?
We never get to see them. We have to wait outside.
Gotcha.
The coolest performer was Julio Iglesias. He came around and
awesome.
That's Shine Down or Shine, whatever they were on.
Yeah, Shine Down.
Yeah, right. They were good. They were good too. They came around and gave us high fives and stuff. They were nice.
Want to hear my Julio?
No.
I was going to say Julio Iglesias would be up Pete Shepherd's alley. All right, first one to three correct answers is the winner. Sweepa, you get to go first. We're doing movie trivia from the 2000s. 2000s movie trivia.
Okay.
First question. Meryl Streep played an editor for the iconic fashion magazine Runway in what 2006 movie?
with. I picked the wrong category. The Bride. No idea.
Pete Shepard?
I forget. It's a one-word title, if I remember.
No, it's not.
It's
not?
The Devil Wears Prada.
Oh, Devil Wears Prada.
D Wears P.
Sorry.
Which I've actually seen.
I've seen it. Not bad.
All right.
It's a classic.
It's not bad.
That's a classic.
That's not a. It's not something
I'd undersell
watch again.
It.
She was very good in it.
Her co-star, what's
Anne Hathaway.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't like
that's,
her.
I do.
I know most people do. I don't care for her. All right.
Put it on the list.
It's not hatred. Yep. It's not hatred.
Anne Hathaway, Catwoman.
Pete Shepard.
Yes.
What 2000s comedy saw Kirsten Dunst cheer for Rancho Carne High School against Gabrielle Union, who cheered for East Compton? Gabrielle Union, of course, misses Dwayne Wade.
The Leprechauns.
I forget. It's.
Are we going to see two shutouts here today?
I know it when you're talking. I forget. It's a stupid movie.
All right, a chance to steal Sweet Bay. 2000's coming. What? Oh, what?
No.
Get it on?
Oh.
No.
Oh, that's close. Bring it on.
Bring it on.
Bring it on. Oh, that was close. I wanted to give it to you, but Chris is a stickler.
You can't give All it. Right. It's not the right title.
Sweet Bay, this next question is for you. Russell Crowe played Maximus Decimus Meridius.
Good Lord.
Who started
say hi him. How's he going to do this?
General in the Roman army before being enslaved after being betrayed. Anyway, that's a lot of words. What was the name of that movie?
Gladiator?
Yes! Sweet Bay with one.
You went all, through all those long names. I had it.
All right, Pete Shepard, your chance to get back in this. Mm-hmm. What movie franchise that started in the 2000s and is still going strong today had Tom Cruise play the role of Agent Ethan Hunt?
That would be Mission Impossible.
That is correct. Sweet Bay, Martin Scorsese directed the 2002 movie starring Leonardo DiCaprio, set in the Five Points District of New York City from 1846 to 1862 and is centered on Irish immigrants and their conflicts with the government.
Gangs of New York.
Yes.
Yes!
Very good.
2-1, Sweet Bay.
Good job.
Great movie.
All right, Pete Shepard, you need this bad. All right. Martin Scorsese, again, directed what 2004 biographical movie, teaming up with Leonardo DiCaprio again, about early life of a legendary aviator and film director from the 1920s to the 1940s. The name of the movie is?
Oh, it's about Howard Hughes and it's called The Aviator.
That is correct. Yep. We are tied at 2. All right, Sweet Bay, this is your chance to win. If you get this, you win. What 2000s movie had Tom Hanks' character as the only survivor after a plane crash, and he went on to live on an island before building a raft and ultimately making his way back home?
And he had his little buddy Bill, and it would be Castaway.
That is correct!
Except you said Tom Cruise and not Tom Hanks.
I said Tom Hanks.
No, you didn't. You said Tom Cruise.
I read it right here.
He got it right. I know he got it right, but you did. Honestly, you said Tom Cruise. I kid you not.
That was the previous question.
No, I'm telling you. You had a full. We can go to the tape. I'm not making it up.
Tape. We can go to the tape next time.
Either said Tom Hanks.
But you got
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
you got
see, Sweet Bay back me up.
You got it.
Oh, we can go to the tape next hour.
I actually would like to, because Tom Cruise living on an island makes no sense whatsoever.
No, but it's back to back. You might have just looked at it. And just
Sweet Bay, congratulations. Okay. You are a winner, sir.
Thank you very much.
Good
All
job.
Right, stay on hold. Chris will take care of you. Appreciate it. All right, we only have one more question. And maybe the texters can tell me if I said Tom Hanks or Tom, because that would be a speedier way than going back to the tape. Clint Eastwood, Hilary Swank, and Morgan Freeman starred in what boxing movie that was nominated for 7 Academy Awards?
God, it was so good, too. She dies.
Spoiler alert.
It's not The Fighter. It's something. I just having a brain cramp. I forget. It was a great movie.
$1 Million Baby!
$1 Million Baby. Yep. Great movie. Yep.
By the way, extra pulp Flyers fan, and they're all saying I said Hanks. I got it right. I think you misheard because you weren't listening.
I might have. I was sitting right here listening.
I don't think you were really listening.
I always listen.
More. Wig said, Wig, you can't go wrong with Wig. Wig's backing me up. I said Tom Hanks. Leon Parents is Tom Hanks. Chicken Salad says Tommy, there's no need to go back on the audio tape. I did my job correctly, and I did it well.
Just this.
Stupati says he said Tom Hanks' Pete is old.
Okay. Stories are popping up in Pro Football Talk. So now we know what happened with Jameis Winston. He just underwent LASIK surgery to repair his vision. Boom. Who knew?
That's about many years overdue. That's what I heard. I heard he couldn't see.
Who freaking knew? Now that changes everything. Give him $40
million. Hold on.
I can see.
We all knew he needed the surgery. I've heard this story before.
Have you seen how much the guy squints during a football game?
I don't. I don't pay attention to that. Does he really?
Yeah. Oh, he's constantly squinting at
the
side.
He can't read the scoreboard.
He's far-sighted. This is why I can't see the linebackers 9 yards in front of him. This is a game changer.
Bruce Arians said in 2019, the final press conference said he can't read the scoreboard, but he can see the guys in front of him, so he's all right.
Holy crap, we're late. Shaman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.